What does it mean to be restored to life? At first glance, this may seem like an odd question for us. Most of us might think that life is simply the opposite of death. If we're breathing, if our hearts are beating, if we had the energy to show up here today, this morning, then we are alive. But all of us know from experience that life is deeper and more complicated than that. There are times when a person can be physically healthy, yet feel disconnected, isolated, or lost. There are moments when fear, shame, grief, loneliness can make us feel as though part of who we are has gone numb. And there are seasons in our life when we simply endure instead of living. Our gospel today suggests that life is more than just a physical existence. In the biblical sense, life is communion. Communion with God, with one another, and with ourselves, the person God created us to be. To be restored to life is to be brought back into those relationships whenever they've been fractured or diminished. That question, what does it mean to be restored to life then, lies at the heart of our gospel today. The stories that Matthew places together in our gospel may seem unrelated at first. There's a tax collector at a tax booth, a woman suffering a chronic illness, a grieving father, and religious leaders who seem to question Jesus' choices. Yet each story reveals the same truth. Wherever Jesus goes, life is restored. The first person we encounter is Matthew himself. Jesus walks by and sees a tax collector sitting at his booth and says two simple words, "Follow me." And Matthew gets up and follows. It's such a brief story that we can sometimes easily miss how remarkable this is. Tax collectors were not admired. They were viewed as collaborators with the Roman Empire. They were distrusted by their neighbors, often excluded from community. And yet Jesus looks at Matthew and sees more than the labels that others have placed upon him or the sins of his past. Jesus sees someone capable of becoming more than the role that they have been living. And with two simple words, Jesus gives Matthew back his life. Matthew is not physically ill. There's no miracle of healing, no disease being cured, yet something just as important is happening. Matthew is restored to relationship and community and to a sense of purpose that goes beyond himself. The life Jesus offers is not only one of acceptance, it's one of a new way of being and living in the world. Then Jesus shares a meal with tax collectors and sinners, and we might say the Pharisees become scandalized by what's happening. Why would a religious teacher spend time with people like this? But Jesus responds, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Jesus here describes himself as a physician, a healer, one who moves towards suffering rather than away from it, one who seeks out those who are hurting, desiring restoration rather than condemnation. And then Matthew gives us two examples that let us know the kind of physician Jesus is. A leader of the synagogue approaches Jesus, kneeling before him. His daughter had died. There are moments in life when we know what to do, what to say, how to take the next step. This was not one of those moments. The father has reached the end of what he can do, what anyone else has tried to do, and yet he comes to Jesus. As Jesus follows him, another person emerges from the crowd, a woman who has suffered from hemorrhages for 12 years. 12 years of discomfort, uncertainty, disappointment, of wondering whether anything will ever change. Her life has been organized around an illness that will not let go. Yet, like this father, she still has hope. She believes that if she can only touch the fringe of Jesus' cloak, that will be enough. But the father and the woman come with the same conviction. Jesus can bring life where life has slipped away. The father comes for his daughter, and the woman comes for herself. And Jesus responds to both of those needs. Sometimes we come to God carrying our own burdens and sorrows. Sometimes we carry the burdens of others. Every week we pray for family, friends, neighbors, strangers we don't even know, those who are ill, grieving, anxious, depressed, lonely, or afraid in the world. Like the father in today's gospel, even we bring others before Christ, with the hope and the trust that he will care for them. As Jesus sees this woman, he stops and he speaks. Daughter, take heart. Your faith has made you well. Notice all that has been restored for the woman. Her body is healed, yes. And more than that, she is given back her life in the world. For 12 years, she has been defined by her condition, and Jesus doesn't call her for her illness, doesn't call her by her illness. He calls her a daughter. In that moment, her dignity is restored to her. Her place in community is restored. The physical healing is there. But there is also relational, emotional, and spiritual healing. The great physician is holistic. The great physician treats the whole person. Finally, Jesus arrives at the house where the girl's life is lifeless. The mourners are already gathered together. They think that her story is over, but Jesus takes the girl by her hand, and again she rises. The daughter is returned to a father who was grieving. A family is restored. A future that seemed lost is now opened for her. This miracle doesn't erase the reality of death. It offers a glimpse of God's promise that death is not the end. And this is where the gospel becomes both beautiful and difficult. Because we know not every person is healed in the ways that we hope. Not every prayer is answered as we ask for them. Many of us carry prayers that have gone on for years and years, and many of us carry losses that still ache. Yet as Christians, we trust that God's work of restoration is larger than any single moment. Even when healing feels incomplete, Christ is present there. Even when answers do not come, Christ continues drawing us and all people toward life. This is why the church has always understood healing more broadly than just physical cure alone, even if that understanding has gotten lost over time. A person can be cured, but as I said, they can still be lonely. A person might recover, but still carry an immense amount of shame. A person can be physically healthy and spiritually depleted and exhausted. The healing Christ offers restores the whole of who we are, our relationships, our dignity. It gives us back our hope and grounds us in our belonging. And often, he does this through the people around us. Because restoration is rarely a solitary thing. The goal is not perfection. The goal is that no one suffers alone. That every person knows that their dignity as a child of God, that communities learn to surround one another with compassion and mercy. When a grieving person is accompanied, Christ's restoration is happening there. When someone with mental illness is not abandoned, when a lonely person discovers that they actually have a place where they belong, when someone burdened by shame encounters nothing but grace, this is Christ's restoration happening among us. The church participates in Christ's healing ministry whenever it moves to restore people to their relationship with God, with each other, and with themselves. That is what Jesus does throughout our gospel. Matthew is restored to his purpose. The woman is restored to her dignity. The daughter is restored to her life and to her future. Different people, different wounds, different circumstances. But in each case, Jesus meets them where life has been broken open and brings them towards wholeness. God is not searching for reasons to exclude us or to exclude people. God isn't waiting for people to become worthy. Instead, God is a generous giver who desires people to flourish, to live, to be restored. Again and again in the gospel, Jesus moves towards those who are suffering, those who are forgotten, and those who are grieving. And again, we hear the stories. He restores them to life. And that remains our hope today. The same hope that moved the Father to reach out to Jesus for his daughter. The same hope that drew the hemorrhaging woman to just touch the fringes of Jesus's cloak. The same hope stirring in Matthew that led him to just immediately get up and follow. The hope that every act of healing and reconciliation, of mercy, restored dignity, points towards the future that God intends for each of us and for the world. For wherever Jesus goes, life follows. And wherever life is restored, the kingdom of God is already drawing near. Amen.